Willie and D-Mace, hour number two. We're watching the Olympics right now. We're so sucked in. It's the men's gymnastic team competition.
Oh, whoa. Willie, what did we just ask for? Richard.
A couple little
stumbles. What was his first name?
Frederick.
Yeah, Frederick Richard, the U.S. team. They just did awesome on there. So you have China and Japan ahead of them. And Willie and I were just sitting here like, don't be scared to just mess up a little bit. Just don't
little
hurt
hop.
Yourself. Just mess up a little bit.
Hop, little stumble.
Yeah, and the last two guys have messed up. So come on, USA. Let's move up in these rankings. Come on.
Let's get the gold. It's fun. We are coming at you from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership. Well, the buzz is always about great service. We're going to talk about the Olympic basketball team a little bit later in the hour. I want to hit one topic. I think this is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, when I say teams choose to do this, I don't know if they have a choice, but they have a choice. I mean, they could walk away from some of these guys. But I looked at, we know Trevor Lawrence a couple months ago got his big deal. And then over the last few days, Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa have each gotten huge contracts, right? Money that their franchises have never doled out. Jordan Love is the highest in NFL history, I think, right? The cap is getting bigger. We understand that there's more money doled out now, so the contracts are going to be higher. Tua has gotten the highest in Dolphins history. I looked at the numbers. I think I've got this right. Those three quarterbacks have combined for two playoff wins. There's a reason they're making a lot of money. They've done very well. And we know that in a given year, there are probably at least 10 teams that aren't really satisfied or don't quite know what they've got in their quarterback. They're looking for the next. So when you have a guy that's good, you have to pay big to hang on to the guy. It just doesn't slot right. There's not much of a, for lack of a better term, I heard Paul Kuharski use this term, like the middle class, right? There's not much of a, and those guys are upper middle, right? But they just haven't won big yet. I noticed this in other sports that happens too. A lot of pitchers in baseball get paid a lot when they haven't really won that much. Hockey, the Ottawa Senators, trying to go with a youth movement. They paid out a lot of money to younger players who hadn't won yet. But they were saying to themselves, these guys are talented. Let's lock them up now. They're only going to get more expensive as they get older. Right?
Yep.
That's kind of where you are. And who knows where the Titans will be with Levis. But at some point, they might be in this position. Right? If this would be a good problem. That would mean that Levis is doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an interesting concept where you get paid so much money before you've really done anything in the league. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean,
you've done it for a short period of time.
You haven't really done it.
But this is
what it is now.
But I guess I'm asking why did we get to this point? How did it get to this point?
Yeah, you know, these television contracts have gotten lucrative, very lucrative. And, you know, in a new collective bargaining agreement, you got to spend the money. You got to spend a certain amount of the money each and every year. And, you know, if you feel you have your guy, I don't care if he's played 10 games or 210 games. You got to pay him. That's just the way it is. I mean, you can almost say that everybody need to thank Kirk Cousins. You really do need to thank Kirk Cousins and what he did long time ago.
Right.
Like when he was taking those deals, and people thought he was foolish, but he was taking those deals where they were paying him a lot. Washington was paying him a lot.
Right.
Up front, like guaranteed, one-year deals, guaranteed, or two-year deals, guaranteed. I don't think there's been a contract that Kirk Cousins has had, other than his rookie contract, where it hadn't been guaranteed, like the whole thing hadn't been guaranteed. They started that movement. And now, these other quarterbacks have just followed suit. People didn't think that Jackson would get his money. Oh, he don't need to be representing himself. This and that. What happened? He got his money. all guaranteed.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson was another guy after Kirk Cousins that really set the tone. I want all of my money. And what made it even worse, he was coming off of all that stuff that was happening. And Cleveland still paid him 100% of his money. So other quarterbacks after that said, listen, if one guy got it, we all should get it. And they are exactly right.
Okay, but let's distinguish Kirk Cousins and definitely Lamar Jackson. Those guys had to build up
and
more.
And I get that. You're
before
right.
Before they cashed in on big money. Deshaun Watson is a little bit of his own category. Mm-hmm. But I see Lawrence, Love, and Tua in this new breed a little bit. They're still very young. Mm-hmm. And so there's a long way to go in their career. It could go a lot of different ways. But they're getting the money before they really have had to sweat for it, for the most part.
But that's the NFL now. You have to pay these quarterbacks. I know. If they show you anything,
yeah,
you can't afford.
But that's scary, right? Think if the Titans had to do that on Mariota. They didn't do it. They waited and waited and waited. And I remember being on the show saying, and this is what doesn't exist now. I was saying, would it be worth it? Would it be a smart move to lock up Mariota, who you know is going to be good? He's probably not going to be great. And he regressed after I said this. But he was coming off a pretty good year. And I said, maybe you could get him cheaper by locking him up early. But they didn't do that. And it was actually smart because then he regressed. He lost the job to Tannehill. The rest is history. But imagine if the Titans had to do that with Mariota and say, we got to lock this guy up and overpay him. Because there's going to be at least one of these guys is going to be disappointing, I would say. Because they're getting that much money. But to be worth that much money, you got to really produce. You got to have more than one playoff.
But here's the deal with that, Willie. One is, you know, how does that team feel about that individual? We can't base it on the other contracts or what other individuals have done, you know, at how we look at them from a whole, you know, like a Patrick Mahomes or you know, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Jackson. We look at those guys different as a whole. But Miami looks at Tua as their guy. They look at Tua right. as their Patrick Mahomes or their Josh Allen or their Jackson. You got to pay the guy. What's your other recourse? Not paying him and then hoping right. and praying
that's where that
we get a quarterback?
The supply of good quarterbacks is in short
no,
supply.
No. It's not, Willie. It's not even that.
Because these you're worried you're going to left hold in the bag and your quarterback is, oh, boy, I got so-and-so placeholder, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking, and there's no telling how long it will take to find the next guy.
That's because...
Because he's a lot better than, you know, the Bears would be an example of a musical chairs of quarterbacks over the years.
They just kept
and they're hoping that
the
now
chair,
they've got the
chair,
guy. They're hoping.
But I think when you have individuals like this, everybody can't have a Patrick Mahomes. Everybody can't have a Joe Burrow. I look at those, and everybody can't have a Jackson. I look at those three guys as the top three guys in the NFL as far as quarterback. Everybody can't have those quarterbacks. Then Josh Allen falls right below that at the fourth spot for me. But everybody can't have those quarterbacks. So what do? Well, this quarterback is good for what we want to do. And with saying that, we got to pay him the money that these other quarterbacks are making. They may not be better than – Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow, and Allen, but we got to pay them because they're good quarterbacks. And we can't roll the dice and hope and pray that we get another one of these quarterbacks or better the next go around. If we have them, we got to sign them. And the point is, we got to sign them for big money. We can't be scared to sign them for big money because that's what these quarterbacks are getting, you know? But they're not getting it to the point where, you know, because you look at Tua's contract or you look at Love's contract. It's a shorter contract and his AAV is I think it's the most in the NFL at this point in time.
Jordan Love's is, yes.
Yeah, Jordan Love's is. But it's he's at – somebody's below him at 55.1. He's at 55.6. They're not going – they're trying not to go up like to that 58, 59 mark. They're trying not to. But if you got a quarterback that you can win with, they can win with Tua. You got to pay them.
They
that's
can
just,
win how much? That's
it doesn't the, matter.
I guess it doesn't matter.
As long as, you're in
a
position.
This is the going rate.
Yeah, as long as you're in a position to get in the playoffs, because they figure once we're in the playoffs, anything can happen. But just get us to the playoffs. Well, Tua's done that. Now, he hadn't won in the playoffs. I get that. But he's gotten them to the playoffs. There's something to say, because there are a lot of teams that ain't getting to the playoffs. Titans is one of them. So when you have a quarterback coming at the end of his contract, you got to pay him. I don't care. They're going to have to play Will. If Will Levis shows anything, like he's the guy, they got to pay him north of $45 million per year.
I just think it's weird when you're paying on potential, on what you hope a guy is going to do, and not a guy gets you there and then gets rewarded by the big contract. The timing isn't perfect.
Well, that's Green Bay's fault with Love. They chose to hold on to Aaron Rodgers another year or two and have him sit the bench for a year too long. He should have been a starter 2 years ago. And then they would have had a bigger sample size of what he is as a quarterback.
All right. Let's pause on that. When we come back, we'll get some calls and texts on this. What are your thoughts? Because you have to be thinking, if you're the Titans, you hope you get into this position with Will Levis. You hope. But still, it's a little bit of a catch-22 or a double-edged sword when you're paying your quarterback that much of a raise. What does that do to the rest of your team, and how good does that guy have to be? I would have to say, I would predict that of Love, Tua, and Lawrence, at least one is going to be a major disappointment in the overpaid category. Kyler Murray, I think, would be in this category as well. 615-737-1025. Let us know what you think of this. We've got some people that want to share their opinions. It's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're back here on Willie and D. Mace, 102.5 The Game. Willie and D. Mace continues. We're taking your calls and questions on text lines or phone lines. 615-737-1025. And we're talking about these quarterbacks that are getting now enormous record-breaking salaries who haven't really won yet, and what that could mean down the road for those teams, but also for future teams who get in that situation. And the Titans could find themselves in that position not too far from now. Like, for example, this is Will Levis's second season. Mm-hmm. If he could make a jump this year, then after next season is when they would be in that position, right? He's not a first-rounder, so they don't even have the fifth-year option. So after his third year, they would have to decide, do I want to go for the extension before his fourth year? Otherwise, you would risk him going into his final year, and he could be an unrestricted free agent. It's an easy decision, right, if he plays well, but it's a costly decision, but because this is part of it now. The going rate for a good starting quarterback is enormous. Is breaking records. It's going to make the person your highest paid player in franchise history. Something is backwards about that, but this is where it's at in the NFL. Let me go to Adam, who is on the line with us. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, welcome to the show.
Willie, it's weird, dude, because, all right, so the Tua thing, I feel different about more like on a health basis, because we all saw his eyes get loopy, and we're like,
that's
oh,
a great
and
point.
And he got hurt again after that, so you're like, dude, like, just for his health concern, I wouldn't want, you know, to tie myself to a guy who, number one, it's not good for him, it's not good for us, you know, if he can't stay healthy. Now, last year he was fine, but I still am concerned about that. For Jordan Love, I think everybody's just, like, purely jealous of that kid, because he, like, I understand it was, like, a short sample size, but, like, that's what every executive says they want to do. Is have a guy be able to sit for 2 or 3 years behind a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, and their quarterback before that sat behind a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's just pure jealousy. And I hate Green Bay, So I say that as a jealous Green Bay hater, but, like, they did it perfect. Yeah, they paid him good. There'll probably be another good Hall of Fame quarterback coming down the road for Green Bay. So good job, Green Bay. I think Jordan Love is a perfect candidate to get paid.
So you think he's going to be fine. I guess the point is not whether they were going to get the money or not. You knew they were going to get the money. It's just not a perfect situation for a team to be in knowing he has not played that many games. He just hasn't played very many games. And they were only 9-8. That's the thing. But here we go.
But
get paid more than anybody's ever been paid before.
But, again,
one great performance in one playoff game, which is great.
Jordan Love. I mean, yeah. But this is a situation that you get in as an organization when you go about doing it the way you did it. You know, didn't want to move off.
Yeah.
It's like, you allow Aaron Rodgers to hold you captive for a year where you should have, you know, put together a package to try to ship him to some other team. And then you can have a full year before last year to decide whether Love is the quarterback or not. But they chose not to go that route. So I don't blame Love in this situation at all. It's the Green Bay Packers that chose to do this. You know, the guy, he's a good quarterback. Not going to take that away from him. He just played the market right. That's what he did. He came into the final year of his contract at the right time. And he didn't want to be tagged or anything like that. They wanted to get a deal done quickly because they know had they not got a deal done this year, if indeed he was going to play this season, he probably would have ended up getting more based on how they feel and what they feel he can do moving forward. So you pay him now. He's making the most AAV. You know there's going to be somebody else next year that jumps ahead of him. It might not even be next year. It might be before the season even starts or before right. The season ends. Somebody's well, going to jump.
They're already going to somebody like Mahomes and exactly. Saying, do you feel like you're underpaid now? Like,
exactly. So, I mean, your guy is only going to be the guy for a second, the highest paid guy for a second. And you have to do this in this league if you want to compete, if you feel you have your quarterback, albeit he's only shown a little bit.
I don't think
you have your guy, you got to pay him.
I don't think teams really like the way it's the way
they
it
probably,
is.
No, they don't.
It's
no,
kind of like
these owners don't like it, but they know they got to do it.
I think about travel sports, travel youth sports. There's a lot of stuff that's way out of whack, but we look around and we're like, well, how did we get here? We're here. We kind of have to deal with this system, right? We don't really like the system. I feel like that is the same kind of thing with these quarterbacks. I don't think Green Bay was sitting there going, oh, yeah, he's definitely worth it. He's going to do it. Like, you can talk yourself into that. But the reality is they know he hasn't played very much. They might feel really good about him. Or, as the caller pointed out with Tua, they know that he can do all of the training that he has done to try to prevent future concussions and things like that, but he has shown that he is an injury risk. But yet they felt like they had no choice but to make him paid the way he was. It's not perfect. And so that is, again, the harbinger of things to come, and you're thinking about the development of the Titans as they try to rebuild here. If they get into that position with Levis, this is where they could be.
But even Love's contract, if you look at, because I'm looking at the guarantee structure breakdown, and I'm just looking at the last little bit of it, it calculates to a practical guarantee of $160.3 million, which also ranks ninth among active quarterbacks. So even his contract, if you look at the totality and how it's structured, is still ranked ninth among NFL contracts. It may be, you know, so he's still not, you still haven't put him at the top. We're just looking at, you know, the 220, 4 years guaranteed, but the way they structured all of this, and I know the last year, which state, it's really guaranteed, but it's like a soft guarantee in a sense, you know, that last year or those last 2 years. But he still, for the next, 25 and 26, he currently ranks ninth among NFL contracts, but at nearly 44% of the total value of the contract, $231 million. This is fairly a strong number, which the number is strong. I mean, you still look at it as, you know, the top quarterback out there as far as money-wise. But when you start to break down all the numbers, it still ranks not number one or in the top five when you're talking about contracts as a whole, how they structure the contract and everything else.
We're going to get to some more texts here in a moment because we have a number of texts that have the same theme. I want to hit you with this because I'm not sure how I feel about this yet, but there is a little bit of breaking news via Ian Rappaport. Nick, what do we got here?
Yes, Texans defensive end DeNico Autry is being suspended 6 games for violating the NFL policy against performance-enhancing drugs, so PEDs. He has released a statement saying it was important for me, the NFL, to know that I did not intentionally or even knowingly ingest a banned substance. So,
people.
Maybe it was a good thing the Titans didn't.
Exactly, and this is why you either. This is why y'all are not GMs and they are for situations like this. Now, I want to see how he plays now that he's been busted. Because remember, there was a problem like this before somebody got busted for allegedly taking PEDs. We don't know if that person did or not, but allegedly taking PEDs. And after that suspension, that person was never the same. They just was never the same as far as play. I don't know if it was actually that person taking PEDs or not, but all I know is he wasn't the same person after all that stuff came out. So, good thing the Tennessee Titans didn't re-sign DeNico Archer, who I think is a good player anyway, but good thing they did not sign him because they would have been missing him for the first 6 games of the NFL season.
Well, this is a big sunk cost right now for the Texans because they paid him big money for 2 years.
They ain't got to pay him for the first 6 games.
But they made a 2-year investment in DeNico Autry for his age 34 and 35 seasons. There was a lot of risk that went into that. And look, are we happy for that DeNico Autry is having this happen?
No, I'm not.
But
at all.
This is the point of when a guy gets into his 30s, it's harder and harder to stay in the kind of shape you've got to be in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and look, DeNico is giving the line that every guy gets when he gets busted. Oh, I didn't know what I was. I didn't knowingly take that.
You probably didn't.
Maybe
but
you
it
didn't.
It was in your body.
You had a guy probably telling you to take this.
Exactly.
You'll be okay, but take this. But it gets harder to stay in that kind of shape. It's hard to get return on the investment when you get to that age, especially for a defensive lineman. Jared has used DeNico Autry in a, this is why they should sign DeAndre Hopkins now, but this is why D-Mace and I have said, no, there's no hurry, because a lot of things can happen.
Yeah, a lot of things can come up. And again, I want people to
understand. A lot of different things can come up.
I want people to understand that I nor Willie are not saying don't sign him. Again, I nor Willie, we're not saying don't sign him. We're not saying don't sign him. Let me say it one more time. We're not saying don't sign him. We're saying why not just wait until after the season? There's no rush to sign him now. What's the rush? If somebody could tell me what the rush is, then I would love to hear it. Like a viable rush. Like, okay, yeah, I can see that point. I can see why you want to rush and sign him. I don't think anybody can give me that other than you don't want to let him get the free agency because he might not be here. Well, I can say that about every player if that's the case.
That's where Autry.
Exactly.
I think the Titans probably had a price that they would have been okay bringing Autry back for one more year. Mm-hmm. But they got outspent by the Texans, who were willing to go 2 years for a guy who is about to be 34. And you see what happens, right? There's just a lot of things that can happen. Mm-hmm. But if you get somebody that is ridiculously overpricing a guy at that stage of his career, then that's okay. You have to move on.
Yeah.
You find other ways to use that money. It's not the end of the world, and we see what happens there. So that's pretty big news. All right, here's a text or two. There's a lot of texters going this route. The NFL makes billions of dollars. Your quarterback is the most important position. Pay those guys and see what you got. So this person doesn't have a problem, but there are several people that are saying, for example, Sylvia, who is in Clarksville, these enormous salaries are why the average family can't afford to attend an NFL game. But see, this is to me, not what it's about.
But that's not even the case anyway.
You're hearing, it is, for a fan sitting there and hearing these salaries, for players that haven't really won a ton yet, And maybe that's going along the line of what they've been hearing about PSL prices and ticket prices.
But that has nothing to do with the PSL prices, because these corporations are paying the NFL, which then the NFL pays the player. It's not like the NFL is losing money. That's why they're charging y'all what they're charging y'all. That's not the case. Don't get it wrong. Companies are paying the NFL to be a part of the NFL. Then the NFL takes all of that money and they divide it between the owners and the players. And then the players get a cut from that. Then you disperse it how you want to. So that's not why they're charging y'all a bunch of money to come to these games, because that bill is already paid. The bill of the players, that bill is paid when those, you know, whether it's ESPN, Peacock, Netflix, Hulu, whoever. Whoever want to get in this game of football, you got to pay. And when you pay, that pay goes to the owners and the players. The owners are charging y'all something different from y'all to come to those games. That has nothing to do with the players and their salaries. I just want to let y'all know that. So don't be upset with the players. Hell, don't ever be upset with the players. Be upset. Don't get mad at the millionaires. Get mad at the billionaires, damn it. Like, why y'all always getting on the players?
Player rep D-Mace coming out.
Why are y'all always getting on the, oh, they're making too much money. No. How about the billionaires that are making even more money? Get off the players and get on the owners. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, here's another question. There has to be, this is from Sonny, there has to be a point where a team is just not willing to pay the going rate for a good, not great quarterback. Who will try to be the first to change the system?
Nobody.
You don't think it'll ever go back? You think
no.
This is not?
Because the prime example is Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, when his time comes up, you've been.
They're going to pay him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you've been great with Purdy as your quarterback, but eventually you're going to have to pay him.
Okay. Do you think you could argue that Dallas is maybe going to do that with Prescott?
No, Dallas is going to pay Prescott a whole bunch of money.
You think they'll end up paying him
they're
to keep
have
him?
To, yeah. Okay. They're going to have to, in order to keep him.
They won't
him,
let him go.
They're going to have to pay him. Now, because I don't know if it's
because
$60
that's the
million. Dollars.
That's the next case study. Uh-huh. Because they've let him go this far. Most teams would have locked him up by now.
Of course.
If you're playing by the book, by the trend. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to go in a different trend, they're taking the risk that he could just say, nope, thanks but no thanks. I'm going to test the market. Next year is an unrestricted free agent.
Jerry Jones don't want to lose him.
Well, he did, but it may be he could.
Yeah,
he could
in theory,
just say
yeah.
Thanks, Jerry. But I've
he could take
my
less
time.
Somewhere else.
I want to go somewhere else. He could do that.
You're right, but I don't think Jerry's letting him get out. Jerry talks a good game. He really does. It's all about marketing and everything with him. You know why? Who said this? I think it was Dominique Foxworth. It's either him or RC. One of the two. Ryan Clark. And I played with Dominique in Baltimore. One of them said, you know what? Jerry Jones is the smartest guy in football. You know why? Because he keeps you talking about the Dallas Cowboys. He does.
Yeah, he does.
He keeps you talking about the Cowboys. He know good and well he got to pay, and he will play Dak Prescott. But he ain't going to jump to pay him. Why? Because the minute he pays him, y'all going to stop talking about it. As long as Jerry kind of keeps doing what he's doing, not paying him, he's gonna pay Dak, cause he don't want a chance of him losing Dak and then his team being bad, like really bad. Dak, since he's been a quarterback over the last 3 or 4 years, he's averaged 12 wins per game in a season. Now playoffs is a different story, but if you ask me, before it is all said and done, if you ask me, that quarterback, Will Levis, is going to get you 12 games per year in this league, and y'all going to make the playoffs. Would y'all take it at $50 million? I take it. And then you got to pay him accordingly. If you tell me Will Levis will win 12 games for the next 2 to 3 seasons, then that's telling me also you got to pay him north of $55
right,
million.
But Jordan Love won 9 games last year and got this money because of one.
But it was when he did it.
Right,
it
it's when he did it. It's the timing.
Exactly.
So there's a big difference in that, I think. I don't think Levis would even have to win that many games to get in this ballpark of money.
But if I told you he's going to win 12 games for the next 2 or 3 seasons,
then it's a no-brainer.
They're going to pay him.
Absolutely, they're going to pay him.
Dak Prescott.
And I think that if he wins that many games, then I feel much better about it. For 2 years, I think the interesting one where if it's a struggle, but he's growing, struggle, but he's going in the right direction, and then maybe there's a really good year, that's the tough decision, is how much do you pay a guy? Let's say they don't win a playoff game in the next 2 years.
The only thing,
but he looks like he's progressing and he's having success, it's going to be costly to keep him.
And that's why Miami chose to keep Tua Tagovailoa and give him the money that he had. Because they
haven't won a playoff game.
We got a team put together. We got Waddle. We got Tyreek Hill. We got OBJ. We got tight ends. We got some running backs. Then we got to pay him. We don't have to pay him top dollar, but we got to pay him the going rate, which is 50-something million. And we hope within the next 4 years, he wins more than one playoff game for us.
Yeah. Still look at the next one will be his first.
Exactly.
But I will say, when that offense was humming at the first half of last year, it looked really good with him in there. But by the end of the year, it was a little bit more of a...
And they dealt with a lot of injuries toward the end of the year, too. So, but if quarterbacks nowadays, if these quarterbacks are Tua Tagovailoa or better, they're going to get $50-something million. Dollars.
Yeah.
That's just the going rate.
No doubt.
And I'm not mad at it.
And
it
one bit. It's scary. In 2 years, what
I'm
that's going to be. When we come back, our favorite song will be played of late. I mean, it's one of my favorites. We're going to get into it when we come back, and we'll talk a little round ball. Teron Davenport's going to join us at 1 o'clock, and we will get into some Titans issues with him. We'll run some of this stuff by him that we've been discussing. Thanks for all of your calls and texts on our call and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can always do it at 615-737-1025. Willie and D. Mace returns after this. Yes, the old theme, NBA on NBC. Oh, yes, it just keeps getting better as it keeps going.
And live at the Forum, the 1993 NBA Western Conference Finals, Magic Johnson and the Lakers.
1990s basketball in the NBA was awesome, and this was the theme. In the 80s, it was the CBS, and that was a great theme, too.
Yes.
But this just gets the blood pumping. NBC has got that theme. Although, that theme has been sort of loaned out, I guess. And a lot of colleges, like the Big East, was using that theme for their college basketball. Yeah, it was. Or was it on Fox that they had those games? Or was it on NBC Sports Network for a while? I'm not sure.
But I believe Fox does have the rights to Big East at the time.
Yes, I think that's right. So they've been using that, but either way, you hear that song, you think one thing. So at halftime of the USA-Serbia game yesterday, they were cranking that up. They even played a promo, and this really got me going, because I'm very sad that TNT has lost the NBA games, and now we don't know what's going to happen with Charles Barkley and Shaq. And it's the end of an era, the inside the NBA.
Absolutely. That was the best show on television. Anymore.
Great show.
Charles said he was done on NBA TV.
I know. He's been saying it, but Charles likes to talk.
He likes to run his mouth.
He's got to find something to do. Somebody who's going to want him. But that being said, they had a great promo of some highlights from the 90s NBA days with Jordan and Patrick Ewing and all those guys. And they interspersed it with today's stars while that song was playing. And I got a little bit of goosebumps there. I was fired up.
Oh, yeah. I was. Man, yeah. this song just takes me. It takes
and
me
like,
back.
NBC is back. They've got the NBA back.
It takes me back to being in the house on Fairfield in Detroit, man, watching sports.
Yes.
Or in my dorm room watching sports, man.
That was great. Nerf ball and a basket on your
head. Man, gosh, I love that song.
Meanwhile, I also was coming off of a little bit of a high watching Kevin Durant do his thing at the end of the first half of that game against Serbia. It was a great performance.
It was.
He got them going. And I like the way they're playing. There have been times where I've watched Team USA, and I'm like, man, it just looks like we're just trying to show up and beat these guys. And maybe USA would win, but I would say we don't look like a team Like, this other team looks more cohesive. I think Steve Kerr and Eric Spoelstra, so far, given that, you know, you don't have these guys together for super long, they look like they're playing together. I enjoyed watching them share the ball yesterday, know where the matchup was, cheer for each other. I enjoyed watching USA basketball yesterday.
Yeah, it was fun. It's not only watching them, because now you're watching somebody put up a graphic, and this is how much basketball from a global standpoint has changed. And this is why, you know, you can't just walk in now and say, who is Angola? Well, I tell you what, Angola's in trouble. You can't walk in and say that anymore.
No,
even the South Sudan team that the U.S. played took them down to the wire. But they had a graphic like that first original team. They only played, I think they said like five guys that played in the NBA, like throughout their run through the Olympics. They only played five guys that played in the NBA, but were playing for their respective countries. This year, it's 51 guys that are playing internationally for other countries that play in the NBA. That tells you how much basketball has grown globally within that time span. So when I'm watching it now, I'm not just watching the USA game. I'm not just watching the U.S. team. I'm watching the other teams as well, because eventually the U.S. may have to play these other teams. So you kind of want to get a look at how other teams fare. But watching this U.S. team, I mean, like you said, Willie, it does seem like this team is playing together, and they defer at the end, just like any other NBA team would. You defer to your best player when things start to get close. They defer to LeBron James. They defer to Kevin Durant. I'm going to tell you this. There's two things. Kevin Durant got the best nickname in all of basketball, the Slim Reaper. And they call him other names, but I love the Slim Reaper. Like, and Easy Money. Easy Money, like, he's just a bucket waiting to happen.
At the end of the first half, he took over.
Exactly.
He made some shots you cannot defend.
I think he and LeBron James, those two guys, are the best basketball players in the world right now. When KD is healthy, he is completely unstoppable because of the length, the shooting ability. He can put the ball on the court. He has sort of a low post game in a sense, the fadeaway low post game. And he plays defense when he's not hurt. LeBron is just all around. But that U.S. team needs Kevin Durant, because even Steph has been off. His shooting has been off. KD, he's been injured, but when he's been there, it's like he's money. They need him in order to win a gold medal, I think, to make it a little bit easier, because he really, truly spreads the court once he's on, because there's no way you can guard him. Steph Curry's 6'1". I mean, you can get a hand in his face. It's still difficult to stop him. But just imagine Steph Curry if he was 6'11". He would be completely unstoppable with that shot. That's Kevin Durant.
Now, I love how the rotation looked yesterday, but one thing that I didn't really even realize was going on was I assumed that Jason Tatum had a rolled ankle or something. He couldn't go.
I didn't even think about it.
He didn't come into the game at all. And Halliburton, just like, you know, there's got to be a couple of guys. And look, I've been that guy, right? You're not in the rotation. You want to be in the rotation.
You never take your sweats off?
It's happened to me. It has.
It's happened to me too, Willie.
More than once. More than once it happened. But these are the best players in the world. Uh-huh. It's got to be tough. But Steve Kerr has a rotation. He's got a plan. But this is what he said. We have to make sure we don't have he called it, the NBA BS?
Yeah. You can't have that going on, man.
He said you have to kind of check your ego at the door to play on this team, because we have to win gold. This is how we're going to do it. He says Jason Tatum is going to play in the next game. But this is what you have to juggle, because you have to be conscious of the five best scorers is not necessarily the best way to win.
To win a game, yeah.
You got to have the pieces fit together. And Jason Tatum's position, the three spot. You know, that's where Durant plays. That's where, you know, so it's Booker, crowded
Durant,
there. Right.
You know, those two guys play along with Jason Tatum. But again, I go back to this. You got to know that because, again, you're not paying that much attention. Like, 100% of your attention isn't on the court. You have to know as a head coach who's playing and who's not playing. He made it seem like he didn't even realize that Jason Tatum wasn't in the game. Like, you the head coach.
Yeah, he had to spend some time clarifying that. He had to know.
Like, to me, was truly malpractice, honestly. It really was.
Well,
because you got a guy, a three-time All-Star, a three-time All-NBA guy, and you forget to play him? Like, not play him at all? And Jason Tatum, yeah, he ain't going to say anything. He's probably just like, you know, hey, it is what it is. As long as we win the gold, I bought in. But to come out and say, I didn't realize that I didn't play him, but then had to backtrack on it, that's not good.
But any coach will tell you, it's hard to get 12 guys in a rotation.
It is.
So if you've made this decision.
Jason Tatum?
Yeah, but, well, this is what it comes down to. You can decide that Tatum is not in the rotation for that game. Mm-hmm. Right, not in my eight or whatever. And the other thing is, in an Olympic game, the point differential comes into it, mm-hmm. so you're playing all the way to the end.
Exactly.
Like there was not a run out the clock. Right, Steph hit a three with like 3 seconds left, mm-hmm. and everybody was celebrating. But it's a question of like, is it even worth putting the guy in garbage time? This is one of the best players in the world. It's one thing to say, hey, get Willie in the game. He hasn't been in there yet. He practices hard. You know, he's only played a couple minutes. Let him play the last 4 minutes. Maybe he'll get a couple buckets. Uh-huh. And I did like to shoot at garbage time. I did get a few.
Coach is like, Willie, get in there. But, no,
you know,
Willie.
Does it mean anything to Jason Tatum to say, I got 5 minutes as opposed to no minutes? I don't know.
I think it would because, again, what it comes down to, and this is what.
Because that's what it makes it sound like. Oh, I didn't realize Jason hasn't been in the game. Jason, I forgot to put you in.
And that's the part that I'm trying to, like, that's not cool. You know, I understand there's a lot going on. But it's not like he's White or Halliburton where, okay, those guys, those are not all-star guys or anything else. They're on a team. Yeah, we're going to try to give them some minutes. Yeah, we're going to try to, you know, disperse it in a way where we can get them at least 2-3 minutes here and there. But this is an all-NBA guy on your team that you just totally forgot about. And I'm saying you forgot about it because your first response was, oh, he didn't play? Oh, my goodness, I didn't realize. Like, you're the head coach. How you didn't realize? And you got another head coach on your roster in Spoelstra. How y'all didn't realize that guy who's an all-star didn't play?
I'll buy the we went with a smaller rotation.
Exactly.
Much more than I didn't realize I hadn't put him in. That doesn't
Absolutely.
Make any sense. Yeah,
make,
at all. You
makes
got too many
no
guys
sense.
On your
exactly.
bench that would Absolutely. Tap you on the shoulder and say,
and
you want to get the guys in. Not just Tatum, but
exactly.
hey, let's get Halliburton. You want to get some of the subs in here for the last few minutes. It seemed like they chose not mm-hmm. to do that rather than, oh, I didn't even realize I didn't put some guys in. That doesn't make any sense.
It didn't make any okay. sense to me. But, hey, listen, he gets paid way more money than I do that job. So.
But I like the chemistry. I like how they are playing together. Mm-hmm. Now they play South Sudan again. I think it'll be different this time than it was about a week ago where they won by one. You're like, whoa, what's going on? But I'm encouraged. This team looks really good. We'll see what happens as the tournament unfolds at the Olympics. Stay tuned. TD, Teron Davenport, is coming up next. We'll talk Titans here on 102.5 The Game.